some neat things are going to be taking place here today. And for those of you who are at Children's Church, I do apologize. Please get a DVD of this because you're going to want it. Because today, my entire sermon is directed at the Heart of Christ Church. Not that every sermon isn't, but we tape them and put them out on the airways, right? And this message is coming to you from me because this is what the Lord laid on my heart concerning us, concerning the future, and just where what we're going to be seeing and some of the things that we need to be prepared to deal with. And I also believe that it is a message for the wider church because they're going to be going through the same things that we are. But it's kind of neat when we see just what's out there, because our world is definitely not the same place it was when I grew up, when I was a little boy. I told several of the folks at our discipleship hour that I went away, that yesterday I went to an expo. I was trying to sell some of my animals because I'd like to move them on, because my involvement with church is just taking up so much of my time, I need to move my animals out. And while I was at the Snake Expo selling them, they also had, my Snake Expo. While I was there, they had two other expos going on at the same time. The one, which I kind of wanted to go to, but, you know, just didn't have time, was Southwest Indian Jewelry, Rugs, and Pottery. I thought that would have been neat just to see that stuff, because some of that stuff's very beautiful. But the other one kind of had me concerned. It was a zombie expo, okay? And we were told when we went in to expect people coming over from the zombie expo because zombie people and snake people were kind of close. So when they started coming in, I began to wonder, okay, are these supposed to be zombie killers or are they actually zombies? Because these people look like they had never been in the sunlight for years. And I don't mean that to sound harsh. And for those who are out there listening to this, and maybe you're into zombies, if you are, you know, hey, we don't have anything to do with the dead. We're the living. And may the Lord Jesus Christ change your heart and get you out into the sunshine, that the sun may shine in you, that he may shine through you, and do changes in you to make you healthy, whole, and holy. And may I get an amen on that. Because here's the reality, this is not my Father's world anymore. Our world has changed. Yes, God owns it, okay? That is the truth. But it is not the same world that you and I started in when we were born. And for that, I'm talking to those of us who have silvering hair. For some of you young people, yeah, this is the world that you've grown up in, isn't it? And it's hard. It's not easy. It's filled with all kinds of debauchery and trouble and hardship. And God is vacant and void in our nation, a nation that called upon the Lord to form its very self. So today, I'm calling this congregation back to that reality because God still speaks to His people. Now, many of you know, and I've said this so many times, that there are several different ways that God speaks to us. There are several different ways that God shows His will in our lives, and I give you five of them. Well, I thought to myself, you know, if God gave this to me, somebody else has to have it. Somebody more important than me, somebody that has a name, okay? I have a name, and that's Jesus Christ, because Rich Dubs isn't important, but Jesus Christ is, amen? But in our world, they know you speak for Jesus, but they want you to have a name too. Well, how many of you know of Charles Stanley? Amen, right? All I got to do is drop that name, and we all know that guy. You know, we consider him our personal friend and teacher because we listen to him on the radio. Ain't never met him, ain't never ate at his table, but he's our teacher, right? He teaches many of us conservative Christians good values. Well, this is from Charles Stanley's In Touch Ministries, and this is called Life Principle Number 10. God will show you His will, okay? Look that up online, because I want you all to get this, because I want you to know that Pastor ain't full of it. Well, I guess I am. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And in that I'll stand. Because this brother says the exact same thing that I have said, that God is still speaking to us, and God always will speak to us, because if necessary, God will move heaven and earth to show us His will. That's Charles Stanley's words, and he gets that out of 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, okay? God will speak to us in several different ways. And today, I'm going to speak to you about one of those different ways. And believe me, there are different ways. Verse 1 says he uses a restless spirit. The second one says a spoken word. The third one is an unusual blessing. The fourth one is unanswered prayer. Fifth one is disappointment. Number 6 is extraordinary circumstances. Number 7 is defeat. Number 8 is financial troubles. And number 9 is tragedy, sickness, and affliction. Okay? Please go online and download this. I'm giving you a tool to put in your toolbox. I'm not going over it because my sermon isn't about Charles Stanley, but it is about the reality that God still speaks to us. God wants you to know His will. And if it's one thing I know, Peter spoke it to us. Open your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Acts. Chapter 2. Huh? Acts. I thought I said that. Did I say that? Okay, I must have been looking this way. They didn't hear me. Sorry about that. I got to remember to look both ways. Chapter 2 in the book of Acts, verse 17. This is a very wonderful scripture, and everybody says, oh, I'm waiting for that day. It is that day. From the 17th verse, we read these words. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Blessed be the word of the Lord unto the living and those who are coming to life. Because that's God's truth. And God is pouring out His Spirit. He is putting signs in the heavens and on earth. And if you don't believe me, hang on to your socks because I'm about to show a couple of them to you. Because we live in a time that is unprecedented on this earth. We live in a time when the sea is going to open. And when I say that, I mean the holy sea is going to open. And the sky is going to be rolled back. And the stars will be no more. And we will see heaven itself. Now you're saying, oh wow, Pastor, when's that going to happen? I have no idea. But I know it's coming. I know we're closer today than we were in the day of Paul. And they acted as if it was coming that day. And we, as a people, as a nation, as a church, I often wonder, do we know how close we are? Do you realize that Israel is a nation, that they now have Jerusalem? Do you realize that it says this generation shall not pass away once these things have happened? And Israel is in the land. And look at everything that's going on. We are so close. And yet we need to wonder, just what does God want from us? What does God want us to do? Well, how are we supposed to see things? Well, I want you to understand something. God does talk to us. God does prophesy through us. And He uses idiots like Rich Dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. You know, so many of you have said to me, Pastor Rich, you know, how do you know God's talking to you? Did any of you ever have one of those days where everything just seems to fall apart? Nobody in here. Am I the only one that gets that stuff to happen? Okay. How many of you have had that happen for 2 days in a row? How many of you have ever had it happen for 10 days in a row? Well, it happened to me. It was called my vacation. Because you see, we look at things differently than God looks at things. God was prepping me for what I'm going to give to you today. Because you see, God wants us to understand and know who He is. And God wants us to walk with Him and gain from Him real life experiences. We live in a day and age, like I said, that is so unprecedented, it's unreal. Do you know how important this week is? Have any idea how important this week is? What has happened in the last 2 weeks? What has happened in the last 2 weeks? The Shemitah has just ended. Okay? We have just come through the Day of Atonement, and today begins the Feast of Temples. Okay? Today is Sukkoth. And what happens this evening? The fourth blood moon is this evening, tonight, into tomorrow. Is God putting His signs in the heavenlies? Is God here? But you know what we all concentrated on this week? Guess what? The Pope was in Philadelphia. He was in Washington and New York. Woohoo! Millions of people flocked to see him. And did you see some of the respondences out there? You know, hey, God bless him. You know, I understand he's a minister and he's got a bigger congregation than me. Praise Jesus, I don't have to take care of all that. Okay? But the reality is, I honestly have to tell you this, he's just a man. And the newspapers and all the writing, oh, no, he's the vicar of Christ, he speaks for God. Is that right? Is that why the papal bulls throughout the centuries have been so wrong, so erroneous, so filled with adultery and perversion that it's been unreal? And for any Catholic out there, you know I'm speaking the truth. All you have to do is check your history. And I hate to tell all of you this, but we're the product of it, so it's our history too. But you see, something else happened this week that a lot of people didn't see, or many did, but didn't notice it. Who else was in the United States this week? The president of China was here. Do you also know the president of Russia was here? This week, the Pope, the president of China, the largest populated mass in all the world, and Russia, the Great Bear, were in the United States. Yeah. Meeting with Castro. Yeah. Okay. Castro was talking to the I don't know if it was Castro or his president, was in town too. Starting to lift sanctions down there. We live in an unprecedented time. But we need to remember, above all these things that we see happening in the earth, among all these men and stuff that we see happen with the men, we need to remember that God is putting His sign here too. God's saying, don't you dare forget me. You think these are signs that the Pope is here, that the presidents of these big nations are here. Don't you dare forget about me. Because these things have to happen in order for the end to come. And the end is coming, dear brothers and sisters. When, I don't know. But I do know it's getting closer. Today, as we think about these issues, as we think about just what's happening in our world, I'm going to share my reality. For a lot of you, you're going to think, Pastor has finally lost it. He's gone over the edge. And it's time to get a new church. If that's the case, God bless you. The door's open both ways. Okay? And, you know, I won't be offended, because I know there are those who are very skeptical when a pastor says, thus saith the Lord. But I believe in this end time, if we don't start saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and literally get it out of His book, not the book we want to write, that the church is going to hell in a handbasket. Because the scarlet whore is very real. And she's riding on the dragon. And if you don't know who that is and what that is, we're going to find out real soon. Because it is the church and it is Satan. And it's being carried away. And it's sad. But we, the true church, need to remember who we are and whose we are. And that God speaks to us and He says He'll prophesy to us. He'll give us the hope and direction that each and every one of us need if we're willing to hear what He has to say and then follow what He teaches. For me, it began back in August. I was supposed to take a 10-day vacation. I was looking so forward to going up. And you all know, the men know especially that go with me, I love going to our hunting cabin because that's where God called me to ministry. It was on that mountain the first time I heard His voice. And He has talked to me every time I've gone there since. It is a holy place to me. And I went to go on vacation. It was supposed to be 10 days. And long about, Thursday... Yeah. David calls because he was supposed to preach on Sunday so I could leave Friday. We were actually looking forward to leaving. No, it was Wednesday when you called. Because we were looking forward. We were actually going to leave Thursday night because I had nothing scheduled. And I figured, man, I got a free night. Lynn and I can pack and be out of here and actually have Friday off rather than travel on Friday. No, it's not your fault. But Brother David calls me and says, "Pastor, there was a storm in Rhode Island." He said, "That storm that went through here really hit Rhode Island, took down trees, took out power lines. They've called me in. I have to go. I can't say no. It's an emergency. What are we going to do? You need to get somebody." And I said, "No, I don't need to get anybody. I'll simply stay." You know, God created a disaster. God allowed a disaster to come through that called Him away and forced me to stay. So my vacation went from 10 days to 7 days, and I didn't understand it. I thought, you know, "Lord, you know, I work hard, I serve You hard, and, you know, I give all that I am to Your people, and I'm changing my life, getting rid of the things that, you know, I fill it with, so that I can fill my life with You and Your people and everything You want from me. Lord, why would You take 3 days of my vacation?" Nothing. As if I didn't exist. Don't you hate when God does that? And ain't nobody here ever experienced that, right? It's dead silence. And you wonder, what? What did I do? Dead silence. So I stayed. We left then Sunday after church. And I was in no hurry at that time. I had already lost 3 days. So it was late till we got out. It was late till we get up there because it's a 3-hour drive. Till we got unpacked, put everything away. That very next morning, I had to get back up and drive 3.5 hours to Ohio. Because you see, I had made arrangements with a young lady to pick up a dog. Now you're all thinking to yourselves, what does 3 days, losing 3 days, what does a dog have to do with the church? Wait for it. Because you see, we used to breed German short hair pointers. I have mom and dad in my home, and they're 12 and 11 years old respectively. And we love them to death, and we know they don't have much time left. And it's going to break my heart when my Tuckers dies. But God knows our hearts too. And when I sold these pups, I put a clause in the contract. Hear the story. hear the story. Lord, speak to them before they hear the truth. I put a clause in the contract that says, if you ever have to get rid of this animal for any reason whatsoever, I have first right of refusal. In other words, you've got to contact me first. I got a contact. Browning from our first litter, he was the runt. Wonderful little dog. Had to find a new home. Won't go into all the circumstance, just know this. He was on drugs. This is not a joke. He was on drugs. He was messed up. He was so hyper and just, you know, this dog was really not in a good place. So I drove 3.5 hours to Ohio to pick this dog up, met the family. And the strangest thing happened when I met the family. I got there and I'm expecting this dog to not have any idea who I am, what's going on, or anything else. And when she opened up the back of the truck or back of her vehicle, I looked at him and I said, Browning, how are you, buddy? Now, please remember, I smoke a pipe. You all know I smoke a pipe. Many people out there hearing this on the internet are saying, oh, that man's going to hell. He smokes. I'd rather smoke here than there. But dogs connect with scent, okay? I haven't seen this dog in 7 years. When I opened that door, or when she opened that door, and I met him and I petted him, he was all over me. Like, oh my God, where have you been all my life? And I went over and I opened up my truck and I started putting stuff in my truck for him. And without being prompted in any manner, shape, form whatsoever, the family that had loved him and taken care of him is standing right there. He goes over and crawls in my truck and did not move. I couldn't understand it. The whole way back to our cabin, 3.5 hours back, he laid in the back seat and slept like a baby. Whatever. So I get back. Now it's late because, you know, I had to be there for 1 o'clock. I get back home or back to the cabin. It's 5:30. And I'm there at the cabin, and I'm thinking, well, what can I do? I really can't do a lot because I got to invest some time with this new dog, you know, and kind of settle him in, get him used to us and us used to him and my other dogs, you know, because mom and dad, you know, they're not like us. They forget their kids. We don't forget our kids, do we? Maybe I should have said our kids don't forget us. Ooh. Boy, somebody's getting the message. So that evening, I'm sitting there at the house, sitting there at the cabin. Now, please remember, like I said, this is the place I go to relax, to rest, right? Already 3 days short. My brain is short-circuiting because I'm already 3 days short. Had to drive all the way to Ohio. I'm exhausted because I had just spent 3 hours driving out to the cabin. Didn't sleep that night because I knew I was driving to Ohio. Get back, you know, here I am. I'm about wired. And if you know me, I drink coffee like a fiend, so I really was wired. And I know my wife is probably thinking he's about to pop. And I'm here alone with him. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on. But for some reason, I'm taking the rest of the day. I'm just so exhausted. And I literally did. I went in, I took a nap. I just had to shut down. Anybody ever been there? Just got to shut down. So I went and I took a nap. Got up that evening, came out, ate something, visited with my wife and my new dog for about another hour and a half, and then I really went to bed. And I slept. And I slept. And it was like 9:30, 9:15, till I woke up the next day. I'm thinking, all right, now my vacation can begin. 5 days in out of 10, I'm going to get my vacation now, right? So I go out. Now please remember, when we go to the cabin, we have responsibility because it needs to be mowed, things need to be done. And my plan was, I'm going to get my work done so I can rest and relax. You remember that nice gun that y'all got me for Pastor's Appreciation Day? I literally had it up there with me to shoot it in. I was so excited. I had over 60 rounds with me. I mean, I was going to be playing. I was going to be the happiest kid in the sandbox. Well, I go out, and I start futzing around, and I bring the tractor up to the house, up to the front. Now, my truck was already up front. And as I bring the tractor up to the front, I look, and I got a flat tire on my truck. I'm back in the mountains. It's a jaunt to get to Walmart. How about it, guys? Okay? Let alone having somebody come back here and, hey, I need help. Because up there, I don't take tools with me. I'm not that smart. I don't think ahead. So I had no tools, I had nothing to help me, I got a flat tire. Praise Jesus, the men in our hunting camp are smart enough, they have an air compressor up there. But I could not get it to work. It would not work. I put the extension cord on, I run it up there on the hill, and I got it at my truck, and it goes, dead. I went down, checked the fuse, nope, no fuse, pop, nothing. I finally have to call home. And literally, it took hours to get a hold of somebody. So, what I'm doing? I'm stewing, right? Y'all been there. I'm stewing. So, I start mowing, start working. Finally, get phone call. Oh, it's got a little switch on the side. You got to push this switch. I couldn't find that switch to save my soul. I'm looking. I'm looking for a switch. Here, it's just this little button inside the box. So, I pushed the button, and it went drrrt, off again. Couldn't figure it out. What's going on? So finally I made another phone call and they said, oh, you can't use an extension cord. You got to plug it into the house directly. Well, hear the story, folks. Hear the story. You got to plug it in directly. So I'm thinking, what the world does an extension cord have to do with it? So I moved the thing down. They've got a lug and air compressor that has no wheels. Lug this thing down, plug it in, boom, we got air. Praise Jesus, we got air. So I pump my tire up, it's now late. I drive to LaVail, which is a 35-minute drive to LaVail, get a whole bunch of tools so I can change my tire till I get back, it's dark, I'm done. That's my first day that I thought I was going to be on vacation. I spent $150 on tools that I don't really need because I have them at home, and I had to run for a half an hour, all this expense on my vacation that I should not have had to have been spent, funds that I really don't have, time I didn't want to waste. Man, hear the story. So I get back. We got something to eat. Lynn had dinner ready for me. She's a good wife. I am blessed. She had dinner ready for me, and we sat down and we ate. She asked how I was doing, because she knew this was all plaguing me. So I called my son, get this. Called my son and said, yeah, you won't believe it, I got a flat tire. He said, oh, on the right, the right front? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, there's a screw in there. I meant to tell you about that. I said, son, I drove to Ohio with that in there, and you knew it was in there? Yeah, I just forgot to tell you. I figured if I took it out, it would leak, so I just left it. How many of you like the story so far? Are you glad you came to church today? Just wait till you hear the rest of the story. Okay? Give you a Paul Harvey moment. So the next day, I got up. I had all my tooling and stuff there. I got up early, went out, and started working. and you know, I changed a tire. You know, please remember, I'm using this little jack that you got to sit here and do this, and I'm jacking up an F-250, right? A little scissors jack, all right? That was the most fun part. But then breaking the lugs off, you know, there are those lugs that are like that long, okay? They're like 3 inches, and you got to unscrew that thing all by hand, and you know they're not greased, right? And like an idiot, when I went to the store, of course, I bought grease, right? So I unscrew these things, and there's 8 of them. God knows why. Took them off, fixed my tire, put it back on, got it done. Okay. Now I need to get to mowing again. So I started mowing. Now the yard up there is 3 acres. With one 42-inch mower deck. And the grass was that high. So I can't mow full swaths, right? So I started mowing. 4.5 hours later, dark, I quit. There's the next day of my vacation. Did I get any vacation? So I got up the next day. We started playing with the dogs. We found out now, you know, hey, we could wean Browning off of this medication that he was on, because I do not believe anybody should be on medication unless it is absolutely necessary, okay? Please don't just throw your medications away because Pastor said that. I am on medication. I take Coumadin. But if you are on medication for depression or hypertension, you know, and I'm talking the things of the mind, some of us don't need to be on them. We need to find our Lord and realize He is there to take care of us and that He gives us strength. Amen? And so I called the vet. This is funny. I'm in Pennsylvania. Called this vet. I have no idea who they are. And I'm talking to them in Michigan because that's where this dog is from. And I said, look, I really want to wean this dog off of this medication. Is there any way I can wean him off? And they said, oh, yes. Boy, we are so glad to hear that. They said, you know, they told us that you were getting the dog, and they said, this is the best thing that's ever happened to this dog. And I'm thinking, okay. So we're weaning this dog off the medication, and all of a sudden he starts to have a real personality. He's not just sleeping all the time, and he smiles. And, you know, and I mean, it's really kind of cool because this dog, finally, it has somebody that loves it, it's caring for it, and it wants love, it wants to give love. And you know what dog spells backwards, right? And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, this really is a blessing. You know, this is going to work. This is going to work. So I got a little bit of glimmer of hope, right? So then my wife, the next thing she says to me, she says, you know, I know you got a lot of mowing yet to do, because I still had probably another 4.5, maybe 5 hours of mowing to do. She said, how about if I get on the other mower and I'll help you mow? Well, I said, hey, that's wonderful. So I went and we got the other mower running. She helped me mow and we got done. And I still had daylight left. And all I could think about was shooting my gun. I finally get to have fun. I finally get to vacate. So I get this gun now, and I set up my range. You know, we've got a range there, a bench up on the deck of the cabin, and about 80 yards out, there's a backstop. And I set everything up, got my chronograph there because I want to see how fast my bullets are going, because these are all hand loads, okay? And for those of you who don't know, the bullets are as long as my finger from my knuckle to the end of my finger. All right, and they're as big as my finger, okay? The bullets themselves weigh 1 ounce. The lead weighs 1 ounce. So, I mean, it's firing a hunk of stuff out there. It's a man's gun. I don't know why I was shooting it. Fired this thing, first shot, boom, smoke filled. I was so happy. Oh, I was on cloud 9. And I'll tell you right now, it kicks. If you shoot it more than 3 times, you hurt, okay? It kicks. I literally ended up putting a bean bag between myself and the gun to keep the shock, okay? Anyhow, fired first shot. Now, I got 4 foot of paper around this target because I have no idea where it's going to shoot. I didn't even hit the paper. At 4 feet around. I'm talking 4 feet above and 4 feet. That's 8 feet of paper, people. I didn't hit it. Please hear the story. I was aiming for the mark, but I didn't even hit the paper. So I went down and I'm like, I don't even know where it went. I don't know if it went low. I don't know if it went high. I don't know what's going on. So I go back and I shoot again. I walk down, you know, held at the exact same spot, went down because I'm thinking, you know, maybe I really messed up. Of course, I've been shooting guns for a long time. Went down, looked, couldn't find a mark. But the neat thing was, directly behind the target, and I hadn't watched before, directly behind the target, about 8 feet back, is a tree. Right over the bullseye. And it was a bullet hole 1 foot above the paper in that tree. So I am shooting over 4 feet high with my rifle. Well, you can't fix that. You can't raise the sight. I had it as low as it would go, okay? You can't fix that. Here to come to find out that the manufacturer has a bad sight on the front of these rifles. So I ended up the next day. Now remember, I wanted to shoot my rifle. That's what I was going up there for. My whole vacation was to shoot my rifle, and I was actually going to take video and bring it back and show all you wonderful people, you know, just how pleased I was, everything going on with this gun, right, that you all gave me. I didn't shoot 1 foot of video. The next day I got up and I ran down to LaVale, and the guy said, well, there's a fellow up the road here that might be able to help you. So we called him. He said, yeah, come on up here. Maybe I can give you a hand. So I drove all the way up to him, accumulating more hours of my time. Drive up to him. He says, yes, I can fix it. Can you pick it up tomorrow? I said, no, I can't pick it up tomorrow. I really need it today. We're leaving to go home tomorrow. I was kind of hoping to shoot it. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, we'll work on it here right now. He said, it'll take me about a half hour, 45 minutes. I was there for an hour and a half. He fixed it, gave me a new sight. I took it back. I shot the gun. Now remember, it was shooting over 4 feet high. He put this big high sight on it, and now it's shooting 4.5 feet low. Of course, it took me 3 shots to figure that out, but after the 3rd shot, I went down, I'm standing at the target, it's like, I cannot believe, where am I hitting now? And I turned around to look at the, and there are plowed fields coming down through from where the bullets were rolling back the dirt and the earth. Okay, a 1-inch bullet makes a pretty big hole in the ground. So I thought, all right, I can fix that, right? Remember what I just said? I can fix that. So I started raising the sight, got it all the way up to the top, and I'm still 3 feet low. So I put the gun away, disgusted. The next day we packed up and drove home. But you see, that's not the end of the story. Because Friday evening I was so disgusted. I went out, and one of the things that I do is I harvest Multiflora rose branches to make arrows for my archery hunting. So I was out collecting multiflora roses. I got 5 of them. And I was sitting back at the cabin picking the thorns off. Now please remember, and this is one of the things that so amazes me, because Jesus is called the Rose of Sharon. And if you look at a rose and you realize that Jesus was stripped for our iniquity. And you take a rose, and you strip the petals off. And then you remember that they stripped him and beat him. Okay? So then you take the flower petals, and you rip them off. And the scripture says he was crushed for our iniquity. And you take that rose, and you lay it on the ground, and you step on it, oh, it pops. But what you're left with is what? A stem of thorns. And he wore them on his brow. Our sin. So I'm sitting there, and I'm peeling thorns off of rose briars. just talking to God. Because he had been silent on my mountain all week. I said, Lord, what's going on? Why aren't you talking to me? This, and I'm going to say it here, okay? Please forgive Pastor. I said, this week sucked. I needed a break. I needed some joy, and I didn't have any. And when I said that, he spoke. He said, you didn't have any? He said, think about the dog. What? Think about the dog? What do you mean, think about the dog? He said, you made a provision for that dog before he was ever sold. You made a provision for that dog that no matter what happened in his life, that you were going to be there for him. He said, before the foundation of the world, I made a provision for each and every one of you. I love you so much that I thought of you before I thought of anything else. And the world is yours. It's yours. It doesn't belong to these other people. He said, and the reason I took 3 days of your vacation is because lest I shorten those days, you won't be able to stand under them. He said, I'm thinking of you and who you are. And every one of these things is scripture. When you think of everything that the Lord has spoken to me, he says to us in the book of Revelation. Turn there, Revelation 3 and 5. Because I cannot preach this without taking you into the Word. As much of it as I know, you must get into this Word. You've got to see that Pastor is not being foolish. Pastor is not having delusions that this is really God working in the life of his church through a pastor who's willing to yield himself up in such a way that he may do unto me whatever he wishes to bring his truth and his guidance into the life of this body. Because we don't want to follow the things and the rulers of this world, the powers and authorities that may be, but we want to follow him who is the authority, Jesus Christ our Lord. From the book of Revelations in chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus is speaking to one of the churches here, and he speaks to this church a reality that each and every one of us need to know. He says, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus Christ is telling us that before the foundation of the earth, he wrote our names in the book of life, and they'll never be blotted out. That cannot happen. He took care of us. But in the same token, as we see the day ever approaching, he tells us the reality that each and every one of us needs to understand, that lest he shorten those days, we'll not be able to stand under them. And that's in the book of Matthew. You and I need to realize that there's a reason why time seems to be passing so quickly. And I'm sorry about the time. I'm gonna, brother. We need to understand that there's going to be a time coming here this day and in this week and in this year and in this month where we're going to have unexpected financial burdens, where we're going to realize that the things of this world, the money of this world, means nothing to us. That spending of the funds up there and having to do everything that I did up there, that was simply reminding me that we're going to have times of economic trouble, times when things are going to slip out of our fingers, that we had planned for something else. And God says, don't worry about it. I will take care of you. In the book of Ezekiel, we're told the prophetic utterance from Ezekiel 7 and 19 that in that day they will throw out their silver and gold because it will have no worth and no value. And that's exactly what is coming to our world. How many of you know within the next month the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is meeting and they want to propose a new world money order? They want to strip the American dollar from its status. If they do that, do you know what's going to happen to our money? The same thing that happened to China's money and caused a 1,000-point crash in the market. It's going to be devalued. You're going to spend 10 bucks for a loaf of bread instead of two. And that's if you can get it on sale, right? We're told here in the Scriptures, too, that we need to remember. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Again, I need to show you the word. I cannot just espouse it. I need you to see it. Because one of the things, and I didn't cover this, one of the things that happened while I was up there, and many of you saw it, when I came back, I had a mark on the middle of my forehead. How many of you remember that when I came back from vacation? Had a nice little noogie right in the middle of my head. Because while I was fretting up there, trying to find tooling and all that kind of stuff when I had my flat tire, I went into an area and I was looking in the dark. I didn't turn on the light because I thought I knew where something was. But I forgot there was a shelf overhanging the area. And when I bent down in the dark, I didn't bend down far enough. And I walked smack into the corner of a shelf. Just about took my own lights out. And I went over and I turned the light on. And it's like, man, that was stupid. Man, that was stupid. And folks, we need to realize, what does the Scripture say from Ephesians 5 and 8? It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as light, children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light and makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Each of us needs to understand that we need to be children of the light. We cannot walk in this darkness. We can't allow these things that are there to trip us up. They are meant to trip us up. They're meant to catch us away. But God says we're children of light. He has given us the illumination of all things. The Scriptures talks in the book of Revelation about a great awakening. Is that coming? It's here. It is here now. But Pastor, doesn't that mean that more people in the United States are going to come to Christ? No. It does not meet your expectations. It meets God's. Do you know right now in China, Africa, and Russia, there are literally billions coming to Christ every day? Well, not billions, it'd be millions. It is estimated now that 10% of the people in China are Christians. 10% of the people in China have come to Christ. Okay, how many people live in China? 6 billion. That means 600 million people have come to Christ in the last 7 years since they started bringing the gospel into China. Russia has opened up. How long Russia's going to be open up, we don't know. Africa has been a nation that's been open, and the Muslims are trying to close it down. India is open, and people are hearing the word in India, and India is trying to shut it down. We are living in a day of great awakening because the church is growing hand over fist. But what's happening in America is we have turned our back on God, and He's going to speak judgment into this nation. And we cannot think that that's not part of the sign, because I want you to look at something. I want you to look on the internet. I want you to see what area of the world is going to see the entire blood moon. America. We will be able to see it from beginning to end in its entirety. The rest of the world will get to see portions of it. We will see the whole thing. Do you think there's a reason it's happening that our nation can see the whole thing? I happen to think so. God doesn't do anything by accident. And God didn't do any of this stuff in my life on this vacation for an accident. God was opening up His way that we may see. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. God was opening up a way that we may see His truth and know Him and understand Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. From verse 5 in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we read these words. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. You and I need to remember that right now, we need to be a whole lot less critical about each other. Are we in Christ? If we are in Christ, we need to be a little bit less critical about each other. You know, we like to point fingers at each other and say, well, what about you? Well, what about you? Well, what about you? Did you hear about sister so-and-so? Well, how about brother this and that? Are we the church of Jesus Christ?
Yes, we are.
Then we need to remember, God is the righteous judge. And aren't you glad He's the one that's going to judge you? So stop judging each other, okay? We need to come to a place of remembering that we need God's grace. How many of you here need God's grace every day? I need it every day. If God were to have judged me when I was on vacation trying to get Him to do my will, to answer my questions, to do what I wanted, do you think God would have been able to reveal to me what He's about to reveal to you here today? Absolutely not. Again, like I said, hear the story. God showed me that if we really want to be connected to Him in this same day, remember, we're talking catalogically along the line of my vacation here. God reminded me that in this same day, that, you know, hey, if you're not willing to get plugged into me, you can plug into all these things that say they're plugged into the church. Did you catch it? But if you aren't plugged into me, you're not going to have any power to do the things that are necessary in the weeks, months, years ahead, if we have that long. We cannot be connected via extension cord. Each and every one of us needs to be plugged into God Himself for our lives, and then we all come together as the power source to help generate that out into the world. Because God works it through each and every one of us. We need to remember that God has given us a hope and a glory that is not our own, but it is meant to draw others to Him. And when we're connected at a distance, guess what happens? There's less power getting to us, because that's the power of amperage, right, David? The longer the wire, the less amperage it carries at the far end. That's why that stupid compressor wouldn't work. And I ain't a scientist. But God is. He created this stuff. Now, how many of you think Pastor put that together by himself? Thank you. I ain't that smart. Because here God is. He's showing us who He is. He wants us to understand that, yes, He's going to shorten the days. The time is going to fly. You know, how many of us have said that? Time is flying. But He also says that we need to remain connected to Him. We need to be in His light. We need to be children of light. And we need to remember that He made a provision for us that will not fail. That He has given us the hope of glory. And our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, He tells us in the book of Isaiah, before you were made, okay? Before you were made, He tells us, that He knew us. In your mother's womb, I knit you together. All right, we're not created in His image. We're procreated in the image of our fathers. But we need to remember, God's still involved in that creative process of making us through procreation. That's His word in Isaiah. The next thing that happened was on Wednesday when I was there. I was finishing up the tire, and it took me 4.5 hours. And I just kept plugging away because I had responsibilities that I needed to do. And the Lord, He actually applauded me for that. He said, you know, you could have just blown off the mowing and all that stuff that you needed to do, but you didn't. He said, and that's good. He said, you showed true character there, because I want you all to understand something. Open your Bibles here to Jude 20 and 23. The book of Jude, verses 20 and 23. Jude is right before Revelation. So if you turn all the way to the back and go one book forward from Revelation, you'll find it. 20 and 23. 20 through 23. Because God is speaking to us. He needs us, the church, to hear His word and what He's trying to convey to us. Because in Jude 20 through 23, He says this word to us. He says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained with corrupt flesh." You and I are given works to do. You and I need to understand that God has something that He wants us to accomplish, and that we are to be continuing in it, continuing at it, until the end. We are not to stop, though we see the signs of the times, and we wonder, and we doubt, and we think to ourselves, well, gee, what's the worry in it? You know, we have a work to do, and we're to finish that very work. Jesus didn't say work up until 11:59. No, we are to work past midnight. All right? We don't know when the clock is going to strike. We know He's coming, but we need to be found faithful. And that's the next scripture that I wanted you to turn to. Turn to Luke in 18:8. Because Jesus Himself here is talking about the end time. He's looking at what's coming. And He's speaking to you and I. And He's speaking. I mean, when He revealed these things to me, brothers and sisters, all of a sudden, a week that was horrible turned into one of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life. God taught me a sermon. God spoke. God preached to me and gave me hope once again. Gave me the ability to say, you know what? I don't care what comes. I know Him who's coming. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
From verse 8 in chapter 18. It says here, "I tell you, we will see that they get justice and quickly." Whoop, that's not right. Luke 18. Yeah, this is the unjust judge. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? As you and I continue crying out to the Lord, we need to remember God's going to work in our lives, but we need to work with Him in this world, in everything that's going on around us, right? Because when the end comes, the question is this: will He find faith? What's He going to find when He comes? Is He going to find people who are still at work, or is He going to find people that have given up? Is He going to find faith on earth? Because I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to be found faithful. Because as we find or are found faithful, God will give us all we need. And the last thing that I want to share with you was day 5. Because on day 5, I was doing everything I could in my strength and in my power to make that gun shoot. I wanted that gun to shoot. I wanted to have a day of glory. I wanted to have a day of joy, and I found none. Because I can't make joy. Only God makes joy. Only God gives us purpose. Only God gives us hope. Only God gives us life. You and I can build a bunch of stuff in this world, but all that stuff is going to burn. And God tells us in His Word, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I know you all know this, "My grace is sufficient. For My power is made perfect in weakness." When we realize we can't do it alone, and we submit our time, our efforts, and our energies to God and allow Him to empower us, we'll be able to do it incomparably more than we could ever hope or dream. Brothers and sisters, there is a time coming where God's going to have to shorten the days. There's a time coming when we are going to need to really buckle down and hold to the Word of God if we're going to stand. Because the evil one is going to do everything he can in his darkness and in his power to try to pull us away. And we need to stay steadfast. And that means we need to have brothers and sisters to rely on. Brothers and sisters to be there to help support us and to help us get it through. That means being a community of Christ more so than you've ever heard it before. We also need to remember that we have a responsibility one to another, not to give up, but to live life in its fullest measure, understanding that whatever we have, we need to share with one another, and that's hopes, dreams, finances, whatever it may be. And finally, do it all in the strength of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I hope it was worth your time waiting until 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock. What time is it up there? 10 to 12. Oh, I'm done. Because I'm at my end. But the awesome thing is, when we come to our end, that's where God starts. And I pray that you're ready to start with God and give Him the glory. Rely on Him. Hold on to the hem of His garment and be healed by His love. Because if we don't as a church, if we don't as a people, we will fall away over the nation. I don't know how much time we have. Praise God, He does. And He's here for us. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. As a side note, Browning is at home. He is one of the happiest dogs you ever want to see. He hates when we go away. And when we come home, it's as if he says, "Where were you?" You know, God does the same thing when we walk away from Him. He simply waits at home. Until we turn. And when He sees us, He comes running with a big smile on His face. He says, "Where were you? I love you so much. And you stay now and forever." Would you pray? Oh, gracious God, our Father, I've taken far more time than I should have this day. But Lord, it's your time. For our lives are yours. I pray that you will move in each and every one of us over these next days, weeks, months, however much time we have left, Lord, that we may truly be your church, your children. Guide and keep us, I pray. As we go out into this world, Lord, we know that you have protected us. You have hemmed us in from the front, the back, the left to the right, above and below. So be it now that you would hem us in and guide us, that we may bring the truth of light to all the world. For these things we give thee thanks and grace. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.